He's the lady killer, and he's been stalking Jen for the last 3 seasons.
The long con.
He's lured her to this office in his black turtleneck, and he's gonna get revenge through therapy.
Everyone thinks that Andy moved to Europe, but instead, she's in the trunk of this guy's car.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 415, Four Stories, which originally aired on February 14th, 2001.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
And you know what I was doing that night? I'm watching Four Stories.
I was like, what? What were you doing?
Sitting home, living vicariously through Pacey and Joey.
We're coming up on a long weekend, President's Day, which when I lived in LA, we always spent celebrating Mackenzie, friend of the pod, birthday on February 16th. What's better than having a birthday on a long weekend, honestly? I wouldn't know.
My birthday's tax day.
Oh, God. Cursed from the start.
Cursed from the start.
It is interesting. I kind of feel like last episode should have been Valentine's Day. This is like the fallout, but you know.
I know. That was a programming snafu for sure.
Yeah, lots to say about this episode.
Maybe they aired last week to teach people about safe sex so they could have time to get condoms.
Sure, yeah. Sure. That makes a ton of sense.
I want to throw the wrapper away. I've been saying it all week. I want to throw the wrapper away.
So awkward.
I went to get my pre-op test yesterday and I had to give a urine sample. And in the bathroom at the doctor's office where you give the urine sample, there's just like a big thing of condoms like hanging in the bathroom.
Oh.
And I just looked at them and I was like, I want to throw the wrapper away.
And people outside the door were like, what is this man doing in the bathroom?
What's going on in there?
That's a tease because we've got health updates, but we'll get to that.
Well, what are we drinking for episode 415, Four Stories?
We are drinking the Quattro Smash. It's rum, Saint Germain, grapefruit juice, and tonic water.
Interesting. I thought there would be four alcohols in there when you said Quattro Smash.
Nope, just four ingredients.
Interesting.
It's very summery. I'm into it.
Very summery, very delicious.
Yeah, tonic and grapefruit aren't my favorite. I'm not like a huge bitter fan, but this works for me. The Saint Germain helps.
I love a grapefruit moment.
Most people do.
I guess I should dive into the recap, eh?
Yeah, you should. Please do.
All right, so episode 415, Four Stories, is structured as four interconnected vignettes that explore the immediate aftermath of the ski trip from A Winter's Tale. The first story, story one, is called About Last Night, and it's all about Joey and Pacey. The episode opens with students preparing to depart from the ski trip. Mr. Kasdan reprimands Jen for her drinking incident. And due to one of Drew's deliberate pranks, Pacey and Joey are left behind in their room, still sleeping while the rest of the school returns home. They wake up together after having sex for the first time, and they realize they missed their transportation home. So they go to the bus station diner, and Pacey asks Joey if she told Bessie about the sex when she called home. Joey is horrified and says no. So then he asks about Gretchen and Joey says no way. This makes Pacey start to think that maybe Joey regrets what happened or isn't proud of it, which sets him off on a small spiral. So Pacey wants to have a post-game wrap-up about the sex and he asks Joey how it was. She says it was nice. Pacey does not like this answer and it sends him on a further spiral. They begin to bicker. He's offended. She can't say that it's mind-blowing or transcendent. So after he attacks her for a little bit, she responds and says, "Don't you think that I'm questioning how good I was instead of thinking how good you were?" Pacey reassures her that she was everything he dreamed of and more. He wants to tell everyone. He wants to scream it from the rooftops. Joey doesn't want anyone to know. Pacey thinks that this means Dawson specifically. He asks her what she would tell Dawson if he were there and asked her directly. She says that she would tell Dawson the truth. Pacey complains that Joey hasn't touched him all morning. Funny, he thought sex actually brought people closer together. Offended, Joey becomes very upset, cries, and runs out. Pacey finds her and he apologizes. Joey explains what made the experience so meaningful to her was specifically how he brushed her hair away. That made her feel safe. She tells him that she will remember how special the moment was and how Pacey took care of her. She won't remember the details and the positioning and everything else that Pacey's focusing on. She says she wants to do it again because Pacey made it so special. And that is the end of the first vignette. As we move on to story number two, the big picture. So this is all about Dawson, Mr. Brooks, and Dawson's grief. So it starts with Dawson and Gretchen coming back from the funeral. Dawson is very upset that no one showed up to Mr. Brooks's funeral. And this is making him be a little snippy with Grams and Gretchen. Something just bothers him about the whole situation. Grams is sorting through Mr. Brooks's belongings and suggests that Dawson spend some time with them too. Dawson and Gretchen discover an old play among Mr. Brooks's possessions and they reenact it together. Reading it provides Dawson some insight into his mentor's creative hopes and aspirations. A lawyer comes by and asks Dawson to come by his office. During Dawson's upset state, Gretchen tells him that she fell for him the night they watched Mr. Brooks's movie together. She saw a new side of Dawson that night. He had his passion for filmmaking back, and it just wasn't all about Joey and Pacey. So in a way, Mr. Brooks brought them together. And then we have story number three called Excess Baggage. And this is all about Jen and her therapy journey. Jen is required to attend therapy sessions with Dr. Frost as a consequence for her alcohol consumption during the ski trip. This is her first experience with therapy and mental health treatment. So she and the doctor are going back and forth with banter. She says that she's pretty self-aware, so she doesn't think she would benefit from therapy. Dr. Frost says, yeah, he gets that a lot with teenagers. Most teenagers think they're too good for it and think they're too smart. Everything Jen says, he analyzes. They get into a fight and he tells her that she can go. He will tell the school she fulfilled the requirement. His reverse psychology works and she asks him to analyze her. He says that her parents have done some major damage to her as a child, which has led her down a path of drug, sex, alcohol, and being in love with men who will never return her feelings. So Jen pulls up a chair, saying again his reverse psychology worked, and by the end of their session, Jen decides to continue with therapy voluntarily. And then we have story number four. It's called Seems Like Old Times. And this is Joey and Dawson's story. So Joey and Dawson bump into each other accidentally outside the local movie theater. They both had planned to spend evenings alone, but they decide to skip the film and spend time together. They share dinner and walk around Cape Side and have conversations reminiscent of their childhood friendship. Dawson tells Joey that he met with Mr. Brooks's attorney and Mr. Brooks left him money, a lot of money, and told them to do something great with it. He also says that Joey seems different and she looks different too. Joey, of course, is really uncomfortable and tries to change the subject. She thinks they should get out of there and they end up going to the swing set where they had their second kiss in episode 201. Joey apologizes for not being there for Dawson these last few days. He says that she is his best friend. She always was and she always will be. And she says he will always have a piece of her heart. Dawson asks Joey if something happened on the ski trip. She's a little confused, so he clarifies. Did you sleep with Pacey? Joey is taken off guard, a little offended, and says that's personal. What would you do if I asked you if you slept with Gretchen? And he immediately says no. The answer would be no. Dawson says that he wants Joey to be happy and he won't hold anything against her. He won't hold any of their childhood conversations or their previous promises against her. Joey says it's funny. A few years ago, if someone asked her who the first person she would have sex with would be, she would instantly and immediately have said Dawson, without question. So she tells Dawson, no, she did not have sex with Pacey. She lies. And Dawson appears very relieved by her response. And that is episode 415, Four Stories.
This one was all over the map.
It was all over the map, but also very clean. And I really liked it. Like, recapping it was very easy. And watching it was very easy.
It felt longer to me than a standard episode, I guess, because it was kind of like four mini episodes in a weird way, mm-hmm. or three mini episodes, kind of.
See, the reason I think it felt so short, because like when I really tried to watch it twice, and I tried to do one like a let it wash over me, and then I tried to do like a very analytical recap. I have to write a recap of this. Pass. Watch. And when I am doing the recap watch, they do seem very long because it's like scene by scene, break it down, write what it's about. And this is just very like bing, bang, boom.
Easy breezy.
Yeah. I mean, each story had maybe two or three scenes, but it was digestible recap wise.
I completely forgot how this episode was structured. And when we came out of the cold open, there's the first title. And I was like, wait, what are we doing here? You know? And then I was like, oh, when the second one came up, it was very reminiscent of The Longest Day, where like it reset. And I was like, oh, this is something different.
Yeah. So I remember Four Scary Stories from season 5.
Yeah.
But I think I blocked out 4 Stories from season 4, this episode. In my mind, I think I'm thinking of the next episode, Mind Games. In my mind, I thought it went from Winter's Tale to Mind Games, and I completely removed this episode from my brain when I think about season 4. So it was a nice, clean watch, you know?
Absolutely. Well, we have Tom Kapanos to thank for writing this episode.
Praise be.
We know him. We love him. He was last with us for episode 409, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, another Mr. Brooks number. He was first with us as a team with Gina on episode 305, Indian Summer. And just as a note, this is his third episode of season 4, and he'll be back for the finale. He and Gina co-write the finale of this season. So he had a huge part in this season.
Well, who directed Tom Kapanos' genius work?
This episode was directed by David Petrarca. This is his second episode with us. His first was 410 Self-Reliance. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about him. He'll be with us for 6 more episodes across the remainder of the series. So David is here to stay.
I love that.
Good solid team.
Good solid team. This episode had some really good moments, which we'll get into. We're going to crack it open and break it down. Who are you going to give the guest cast shout out to? You better give it to who I want you to give it to, or else.
I'm going to give the guest cast shout out to Rob Nagel playing Dr. Frost. Who did you want me to give it to?
Valoya.
Oh. When I saw Dr. Frost come on the screen, I was like, I know him. And it's probably from this, in all honesty, but he has 105 acting credits. He's been in a ton of stuff, a ton of movies, a ton of TV shows. He just has one of those faces that's like, he's the perfect psychologist. I don't know, something about his face, or maybe it's just his acting. Maybe it's not his face.
I did not remember him. He didn't look familiar to me.
No?
Just from this, you know what I mean? Like, I saw him and I was like, oh, I remember this guy.
Yeah. Well, he was in 4 episodes of Buffy, 3 episodes of Eli Stone, 3 episodes of The New Dynasty, 4 episodes of Prophecy, 5 episodes of Good Trouble. Most recently, he was in 2 episodes of The Good American Family, that Ellen Pompeo, Mark Duplass Hulu show. Like I said, I just picked those out because they spoke to me, but he's been in a ton of TV, a ton of features, a ton of shorts, and this is his first of 4 episodes with us.
Oh, God. We have to watch you do this 4 times.
Do you want me to give a secondary shout out to your guy?
I believe his name is Andrew Massett. He played Larry Welch on Days of Our Lives. Super big in the 80s. He did come back in the 2000s. He was like a big foil for Bo and Hope for all the Days of Our Lives fans out there. There's a lot of Days of Our Lives overlap on Dawson's Creek, honestly.
A lot of soaps in general.
Yeah.
He would have been a good pick as well. Andrew Massett has 98 acting credits. Most recently, 2 episodes of Average Joe in 2003. But he has 304 episodes of Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, and he probably was on in the same era as Miss Jacobs. Miss Jacobs is still on Days of Our Lives. She's back. Leanne Hunley is her name. But, you know, I have to shout out my soapies.
He also has 70 episodes of Generations. Was that a soap?
Generations was a soap, yeah. It was a black soap opera.
Well, look at that. They have very similar careers. A lot of 1 episodes of TV, a lot of movies, TV movies. But yeah, soap star. Another soap star in the Dawson's verse.
Always. Now, music moment.
Colorblind, baby.
I thought you were going to pick that. So that plays at the beginning of one of the vignettes, but not like a super pivotal moment, does
it? No, I never, ever, ever would have known that it was in Dawson's Creek. That song, it still is like a gut punch to me. It is so good. Counting Crows, Colorblind, for those of you who don't know. It plays at the beginning of the Dawson and Gretchen going to Mr. Brooks' house vignette. It kind of brings the tone of like, this is going to be a more emotional, somber quadrant of the episode. But when it came on, I was like, ooh, took the air out of the room for me. And also, side note, I think we all do associate it with Cruel Intentions and Ryan Felipe standing at the top of the escalator. At the beginning of this episode, Jack and Jen are having a little banter about what would happen if they would have had sex and they would have gotten pregnant and had a child. How would we raise this child? And Jack says, well, the kid would just have to know that mommy and daddy can have sex, but daddy would have to be thinking about Ryan Felipe. And then it was a little tie-in for me.
That was a nice tie-in. That's what I thought about too. And you and I, when you were in LA, we just watched Cruel Intentions.
We sure did.
Which is one of the best movies of all time. Sorry.
So good. It holds up.
It holds up. You know what doesn't hold up? I Know What You Did Last Summer.
No, it doesn't.
We watched that too, and it's terrible.
Sorry, Kevin. What about you?
Oh, my music moment?
Yeah.
It's Joseph Arthur in The Sun. It plays when Pacey's approaching Joey after he eviscerates her.
When she's sitting on the deck?
Yes. So that was a really big song for me in my high school era.
Oh, nice.
I loved that song. And then the girl I was seeing, oh God. We would put it on mixed CDs for each other. But I'm not going to let her taint that song for me.
I didn't recognize it.
Oh, really? Joseph Arthur, he had a moment. But this is his biggest hit.
I'll have to put it on a playlist. Or I'll just have to listen to our playlist once you put it on.
I picture you in the sun. It's been in a few things. It had a moment.
Nice.
Yeah, bro.
Love that.
I hope people listen to our soundtrack, our playlist.
Yeah, this is a good time to remind people that you every week add songs from the episodes to our Spotify playlist. So if you want to listen to the Dawson's tunes, we have a playlist for you.
And sometimes people get upset if their song, favorite song of the week isn't on it. Because I also do the Instagram image. But all songs aren't on Spotify. So I do the Spotify playlist first based off the music in the episode. And if the song isn't on Spotify, then I don't add it to the list. So that's how I do it. So please stop attacking me. I'm trying my best, honey.
I'm trying my best, honey.
Should we dive in? What else do we do?
Past, first, present. I don't think I really have one, do you?
I just didn't. I don't remember Pacey being so mean.
This, we say it every week, but I just don't remember them being so miserable. Both of them, Pacey and Joey both, are not ever happy this season. It's very rare. I don't know. It's a little brutal.
And then my other past versus presents would be, just again, this Mr. Brooks stuff was such a snore for me the first time. And now I'm just oh, this is good TV. This is good. Even YA TV, adult TV, this is just really good.
Completely agree.
I think they're handling it really well. And also in my memory, I love Dawson and Gretchen. But, I didn't know I love them this much.
Oh.
I really like Dawson and Gretchen. I think this is where it gets complex. I was always team Dawson until a few years ago. Now I think I'm more team Pacey, watching it back. But that comes with asterisks because on paper, I think Dawson is better in the world of the show. But the way they executed it, they kind of ruined Dawson and propped Pacey. So I am team Pacey in execution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I'm a sucker for teen romance, your first love being your end love. That's the concept I like. But in this show, I think Dawson was kind of not assassinated, but they reversed it. So in theory, I should be team Dawson, but in execution, I'm really team Pacey. Then I was always I think I'm more actually team Dawson and Jen. I think Jen maybe was the perfect fit for him, really. But now I'm I think Gretchen was the best fit for him.
Also, maybe this is my past worst present. Dawson has always been so tough for me, grading and self-centered and all the things that we've talked about for the last three seasons. This season, he's so strong. Dawson's great in this season. And, somebody commented on one of our recent episodes that they thought that Mr. Brooks was the perfect scene partner for Dawson. And I think that that's maybe true. That may have elevated him in a way. And I don't know if it's the writing or the acting. I obviously partially the writing because he's much more level-headed this season, but this is a great episode to demonstrate that because him and Joey have a lot of stuff together in this episode and it's very mature, very straight across the plate. Actually, that's my past first present. I do not like Joey in this episode and the end of this episode infuriated me.
Interesting. We all have to get into that. I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up that comment as well. It was Jackie. She posted it on our episode post from a couple weeks ago. I think it was 413 or 414. That this Mr. Brooks is his best scene partner, brings out his best work. And I think that's actually a really good observation. And I think I also agree. And I just have to wonder, just knowing what I know now, being on this side of the job, there had to have been a discussion between season 3 and 4 about Dawson's character became so unlikable last season.
Yeah.
It's Dawson's Creek. How do we go on a journey to get this kid to be likable again?
Build him back up.
I think that had to be a serious discussion because I don't think Dawson has done one thing in season 4 that has annoyed me yet, as far as I can remember.
Not anything significant.
He's just really mature, like really accountable, evolving. He's not rigid. And I think that had to have been an active choice on part of the writers. You know, maybe James Van Der Beek said something, who knows? But I think they made a really concerted effort to make him likable again. And I think it's working for me for sure.
Me too. Shall we crack it open?
Let's crack it open.
Jen's hair is back. I do not believe this is a wig. I believe it is Jen's hair.
You know what? I noticed her hair in the cold open. Look different.
She's back, baby. This is a great example of when Dawson's Creek uses white felt to be snow. Did you notice?
No. But now I do.
Hilarious.
Well, this is Kerr's only scene, so soak them up while you can.
I wrote at the end of the episode, I was like, there's no Jack in this episode. And then I was like, wait, there was Jack in the episode. I love that they bring people on just to do little tiny scenes.
Yeah, I gave Mr. Kasdan a whole backstory. Mr. Kasdan is gay, and he has a straight girl best friend, a hag or a fruit fly, whatever you want to call her.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to yell at Jack and Jen for sharing rooms, because he's like, I would share a room with my fruit fly, my hag. So he's like, I'm going to let that slide, but I am going to nail her for the drinking, because as you know, he caught her drinking. Anyway, that's it. Mr. Kasdan is gay.
Well, I love him.
He's a gay icon. He is a gay icon.
Put him on a t-shirt. Wear him to Pride.
It's RuPaul, Lady Gaga, Mr. Kasdan. Like I said, I think he's cute. I'm sleeping in his cabin.
I love him. I really do.
He's a teddy bear. We're cuddling. He's keeping me warm.
He's keeping me safe from all the white felt that's laying around.
Well, anyway, she's in big trouble.
She is, but she doesn't know how. She doesn't know in what regard yet, and neither do we. Mr. Kasdan's checking off all the names, and he's like, Mr. Witter and Miss Potter, whatever he says. I need to go find them. They're probably sucking face somewhere. And Drew looks up and sees two people making out on the bus that look like Pacey and Joey. And he's like, Mr. Kasdan. And then Mr. Kasdan's like, okay, there they are. And they get on the bus. But then Drew sees that it's not Joey, and Pacey gets on the bus and they leave them there. Did Drew know when he pointed to them the first time that it wasn't them? He was trying to. Okay. I couldn't tell.
Because you see the light bulb go off when he sees that couple, and he's like, oh, I have a little trick up my sleeve.
Classic Drew. Classic Valentine. Now,
we all know that it is not like Joey Potter to sleep in. So this sex must have been, he wore her out.
All night long. I fully expected. So there's a moment where they wake up and there's like a little bit of awkwardness, but I fully expected them to like wake up and then for her to like bolt out of bed and be like, we're overslept, like kind of like a Home Alone moment. I didn't get it.
I know, because she was rode hard and put away wet. She's in recovery. They didn't throw the wrapper away. It's sitting there. But hopefully they do throw the wrapper away. Those sheets look so comfortable. I wouldn't get out of bed neither.
Honestly.
I love his little cheek scar.
He's so cute.
Joshua Jackson, star of Happy Hour 2026, 2027, 2028.
Happy Hours.
Happy Hours 1, 2, and 3. He gave Joey some happy hours.
Apparently too many. They have to catch their Z's.
I have a story about this. I was watching, it's back on Hulu, by the way. I think it went off. Whatever. It's back. Dawson's. So I was watching my first run on freaking Hulu, and I've been having a lot of trouble with Hulu lately. It would not let me fast forward the theme song.
Mm.
It was torture to listen to the theme song. I know I've talked about it, but it just can't be said enough. Like, I'm never going to be one of these people who's like, it grew on me. It's awful.
It's not great. I don't actively hate it when it's happening. I can just kind of tune it out. But I did the same as you. I watched once on Hulu, and then I watched one on the True Love Edition with all the original music. And when the theme song came on, it was like a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. When it snuck in over Joey in bed, really brought me back.
Loved it.
Well, we come out of the main title and we see our first of these title cards about last night in quotes. And this is when I was like, what? What is this? What's happening here?
And it's a vignette, baby.
It's a vignette. And there are three others coming our way.
So I just realized that all four vignettes are movie titles. About Last Night, Excess Baggage, The Big Picture has Kevin Bacon in it, and I think Seems Like Old Times has Goldie Hawn in it. And About Last Night is about sex.
Classic Dawson's.
That's some vintage Dawson's going on for you.
Vintage Creek. Joey and Pacey are eating out of a vending machine, and Pacey's grilling Joey about whether she told anybody about their night and what she said to them. Which, like, it's not a time where you're in constant communication with people. It's a weird question to ask. Like, you called Bessie to tell her that you were going to be home late, and you expected her to... Is Bessie coming to pick them up? How are they getting home?
I believe they're at some type of, like, bus station, but they could be...
Yeah.
They could be in a ski lodge.
I kind of assumed that they were in a bus station, but...
Yeah, I'm assuming she called Bessie to be like, hey, we missed the bus, we'll be home when we get home. But for him to say, oh, did you tell... I think he just wants to talk about it, so he's using any excuse to talk about it.
Yeah, sure.
But it's weird. And then he's like, well, did you tell my sister? Like, why is she going to talk about having sex with you to your sister? It's all weird. He's crazy in this episode. The sex made him crazy. But he's so up and down. He's like, your breath is terrible. I could do this for the rest of my life. And I hate when he talks in this, like, condescending. So, you know, typically after sex, there's like a post game, you know, let's talk about it. What'd you think? She says it was nice. Nice. Not great.
Yeah. He gets so offended by nice, which is insane.
And she's like, I don't know, like, what words would you use? And he was like, transcendent, mind-blowing. And she's like, nice is a good thing to me. Nice isn't like fine or blah. It's like, it was really nice. And he doesn't let up. He's just like, his foot's on her neck. And she's like, well, he basically is like, did you orgasm?
Yeah. And she's like, are you asking me? And he's like, yeah. Which is, I mean, I guess whatever. In high school, you don't know, but it's so funny. Like, the first time a woman has sex, she's not going to be even close to having an orgasm. She's going to be being like,
ow,
this hurts. Yeah. This is weird. This is crazy.
Yeah. I think the scene, he's supposed to be being his charming self, but like in the viewing glass of this just happening, it's just coming off all icky.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, because like I want to, it's not really out of character because like this is what he does. Like he's kind of like, let's talk. And he kind of hammers things until.
They're rarely on the same page this season, it feels like. They each have their own insecurities about different things. Obviously, in this situation, it's him about sex in general and her about, she's in a sensitive situation. She's very vulnerable right now. She just had sex for the first time, like, and they're not connecting. They need like a mediator.
To quote season two, sex changes everything.
Sex changes everything. And she says, did you ever think that maybe I'm worried about how I'm measuring up? You've had two sexual partners. And I was fully expecting her to say one of which was a 35-year-old woman, but she didn't say that.
And the other, my best friend.
We never talk about who fell off the face of the planet. She's living her best life in Europe. And then Dawson comes up.
Yeah, because Pacey brings him up. Pacey's obsessed with him. Dawson's moved on.
And he basically says, are you going to tell him? What would you say to him if he asked?
Well, he says he wants to tell everybody. And she's like, I don't want anyone to know. It's like personal. And he's like, you don't want everyone to know or you don't want Dawson to know? And she was like, oh my God.
Enough.
And he's like, what would you do if he was here? What would you do if he was here right now? And he asked you. And she was like, I would tell him, of course.
Why?
You know what it is? It's these damn hormones.
Certainly is. And Pacey's like, you haven't touched me. They're both just very, they're in their feelings, both of them. Also, I wouldn't want to tell everybody. Get out of here.
No.
Pacey.
Well, the first time I did it, actually, yeah, I did want to tell someone.
Oh, I told people, but I'm not like shouting it from the rooftops.
Not my sibling.
I didn't call up my boyfriend's brother and say, hey, let's talk.
I know. But I told like the first person I saw at work because I was like, I just wanted to get the shame out. Like I had to say it out loud.
Saw a lady on the street. You were like, ma'am, I have something to tell you.
I had sex. That's good, dear. Yeah, he's like, you haven't touched me. Usually sex brings people closer together.
So she storms out and then he comes back out. She's crying and she's like, it was nice because you made me feel safe and you brushed the hair from my face and it was everything that I wanted it to be. And I just want to go home so we can do it again. Long pause.
So to recap, Pacey just wants Joey to say, I told my sister that you banged me. I told your sister that you banged me.
And how many orgasms I had.
I had 10 orgasms. My mind is blown and I've transcended.
Yeah. And Joey's like, I just liked that you were really sweet and it was my first time. And he's like, oh, okay. It's all smiley.
My first time was in the ruins. My first time was filmed.
I made a porn with a 35-year-old woman the first time I had sex.
And all you could say is nice. But it's okay. It's Pacey. We'll always forgive him.
It's too damn charming. Let's close the book on that vignette.
Bye, vignette.
Bye. The big picture. Colorblind. Mr. Brooks's house. Really setting the stage. Really changing the vibe.
They walk in and Grams has a gun.
So funny. Gretchen and Dawson walk into Mr. Brooks' house and Grams is standing there holding a gun. And she's like, oh, it was a prop from one of Arthur's pictures. Maybe I should use it to keep Jennifer in line.
So good.
It was so good.
Grams stays stealing scenes.
She really does.
Dawson is just really upset that like no one came to his funeral. It was three of them, Mitch and Gail, and then one other person, I'm assuming Andy Griffith, right? We're not told who it is.
I would assume.
And he's like, what if I didn't steal his boat that night? Like, it would just be nobody. Like, it would be nobody. Because I think Dawson's relationship with Mr. Brooks inspired Mr. Brooks to reach out to Andy Griffith. But it certainly would have been at least four people less. Five people less. And this is just really bothering Dawson.
He is really spiraling about this. Graham says, Arthur didn't want all this stuff to go to waste. Like, maybe we can donate it. And Dawson says, what's the point? Nobody knows who he was.
Here's my thing with Graham's. I love Graham's. She's got to pump the brakes on the donating no. things. Like, the body is not cold. She did this with her husband, too. Like, pump the brakes, honey. Like, let the body just chill.
No, she is wipe the slate clean. Get this stuff out of here. We gotta move on.
No, that really bothers me.
Yeah, she's no nonsense. But he's pissed and he's like, that's pathetic, he says, that no one came to his funeral. That's wild to me.
But I don't think he's calling, is he saying Mr. Brooks? I think he's saying like everyone else is pathetic, right?
Oh, I thought he was saying Mr. Brooks is pathetic. And I get what I think that he's mad at Mr. Brooks for quote unquote giving up. And he's mad that this guy that he's come to know who he actually thinks is a good guy, who could have had a full life, didn't because he didn't try hard enough. This is what I'm reading into it.
That he gave up. He gave up after. Yeah,
exactly. And I think how Gretchen frames it is that Dawson is afraid that Dawson is going to turn out like Mr. Brooks. So maybe that's where like all the emotion is coming from.
Yeah.
But it felt like an overreaction to me, but like outsized to, but you know, grief makes people do crazy things. What was your take?
As always, you know, Dawson's, I know Dawson's projecting it on himself and he thinks like, this is me. I lost the girl. You know, I love movies. I kind of gave up on movies. He gave up on movies. Where does that leave me? Am I like him? Am I going to die alone? Is no one going to come? Yeah, I get all that. But the pathetic thing did hit my ear and I was like, oh, I don't think he was calling Mr. Brooks pathetic, more like the situation or that's how I took it. But yeah, I think he's just upset no one came to the funeral and all this stuff spewing out. But Grams is like, look, spend time with his things, you know, that'll make you feel better. And so he and Gretchen find an old play and they reenact it and they kiss. He calls her a skirt.
It's cute and cringy all at the same time, which is basically their relationship in a nutshell.
Cringy?
Yeah, they're so nerdy.
I think they're cute.
I mean, they're cute, but they're nerdy as hell. You have to admit it.
She's rocking the cradle. Robbing the cradle or rocking the cradle?
Robbing. But she can rock it. In this scene, she's trying to calm him down so she can be rocking the cradle.
I thought it was robbing, but I was thinking of rock because, you know, Rebecca De Mornay's Rock the Cradle.
Ah.
Well, she's robbing the cradle.
Dawson says, can I have a minute alone? Actually, Dawson says, hey, Gretch. And she says, do you need a minute alone? And he said, how did you know? And she said, because I'm a good girlfriend. So she leaves him be in the shed barn film barn.
Before she says she's going to leave, they talk about his feelings. And then and Gretchen just says, you know, like the moment I fell for you was the moment we watched that Mr. Brooks movie together, because you went from, and she said it in that episode, she's like, this is the first time I've seen you talk about anything besides Joey and my brother. But here she says, you know, like that was the first time I saw the passion for filmmaking that you had, and it made me see you in a different light. So in a way, Mr. Brooks brought us together.
So cute. And it's true. I remember when we watched that episode and talked about that episode, there was a clear change in her. She had like a little sparkle in her eyes when she watched him talk about the film, even though they completely disagreed with one another.
So when Dawson's alone, that's when the attorney from Days of Our Lives shows up and he's like, I need to see you at my office.
Dawson's like, why? He's like, why don't you come by and I'll let you know.
Why don't you come by sometime? All right, so now we're in Jen's vignette, excess baggage. My first thought when I saw Dr. Frost is... we found the lady killer.
Oh, for sure. He has a Patrick Bateman vibe.
He's the lady killer. And he's been stalking Jen for the last three seasons, starting in episode Friday the 13th, season one, The Scare.
The long con.
He's lured her to this office in his black turtleneck, and he's going to get revenge through therapy.
Everyone thinks that Andy moved to Europe, but instead, she's in the trunk of this guy's car.
She's here for some disciplinary issues, and she's like, look, I don't need therapy. I'm very self-aware.
I just love the runner before she even gets into the office. I love the runner of Jen being so clumsy. Her bag gets stuck on the door. She's a mess.
Love it. My favorite thing about this scene was when she said, I almost had sex with my friend who's a homosexual, but like, that's so tragic. Or what is she? That's so unhealthy. Oh, being a homosexual is unhealthy. Just that I almost had sex with a homosexual is unhealthy. And then she's like, why do I keep saying homosexual? God, I sound like my grandmother. Gay. Are you gay? Being gay is fine.
I wrote that down too. It was amazing. She's like, gay. She like yells it.
I laughed so loud. I took a video of it and I just sent it to like everyone. Like people who watch, people who don't watch, like context, no context, just...
It was really funny.
So good.
She's being her classic evasive Jen, very much so pushing back on therapy. She's spinning questions back around on him. He's pushing them back to her.
It is what it is. It's a cute little vignette, but like there's really not much to dive into. He keeps asking her the same question, which I forget what it is. It's how does that make you feel? Or I feel like every therapist has a question. My therapist's question that he always asks is, what does that mean to you? Or what does that say to you? It's say or mean. And Dr. Frost is that important to you? That's what he does. When she's like, you're not that warm. And he's like, is that important to you that your therapist be warm? He does a little reverse psychology and he's like, okay, you can go. And she's like, what about therapy? And he says, you know, I'll just tell your school you did it. And she's like, well, if you were to give me like, you know, an analysis, what would it be? And he says, you know, your parents screwed you up. You have a lot of childhood trauma that's been not dealt with. You use sex, drugs, and alcohol to cope with it. And you fall in love with men who can't love you back.
And he's like, but that's just back of the napkin. So if you want to dive in, let's do it.
And she takes up a seat. And she's like, your reverse psychology worked. And he's like, tell me about your friends. She's like, 2 years ago, I got out of the cab. Yeah.
They were shooting a weird movie. One of them was wearing a grass mask. I also loved that in the middle of it, he's writing stuff down and she goes, what are you doing? And he said, writing notes. And she said, do I get a copy? He's like, no, you don't.
And then he checks the clock and she's like, gotcha, checking the clock. What am I boring you? I'm always checking the clock during therapy. I'm so nervous.
Always. I always check the clock too.
Do you ever get more crazy in front of your therapist? Like you feel like you have to like play a part or something, or like you like he'll be like, what's going on this week? And like nothing happened really, but
You're like, let me tell you.
I just ramble and I like pull things out that like weren't a big deal. And I'm just like,
I do think like before we start, like what's a list of things that I could talk about? Because I don't want to just feel like sitting there talking about nothing. But a lot of people say they find those sessions where like you have nothing to talk about more productive because you like dig into your, but I don't ever go in with nothing to talk about. I'm always like, okay. Here's four things that have happened since we last spoke that I can talk about. I feel like it's like homework.
Oh, funny. He'll always be like, you know, like I said, he'll be like, what does that mean to you? Or what does that say to you? And I'll be like, that I...
Like, is this the right answer?
Yeah, my inflection will be like, just tell me if it's right.
I don't think mine has a repeating question. I'm trying to think. He does a lot of like looking at me and shaking his head like he wants me to keep talking. And I'm like, okay, obviously you think I have more to say about this.
Anyway, our fourth vignette.
Seems like old times.
Seems like old times. Dawson and Joey each going out alone. They want to be alone, but they want to be in a crowd. They run into each other. Dawson's at the movies. I couldn't tell if Joey was going to the movies or just walking by the movies, but either way.
It seems like she was walking by because he catches her eye and she stops. Also worth noting, the top of this scene starts in black and white and then fades into color.
Love it.
Dawson asks how the ski trip was. Joey's like, oh, it was fine. He's like, did I miss anything? And she's like, no, Jen bruised her foot. Nothing to report.
And he's like, well, my other best friend died.
And you weren't here for me. No, he doesn't say that.
But like, she doesn't even ask, does she? No, she does.
She says, I'm sorry about everything.
Yeah, sorry about the last few days. And they go to a diner, which really just gave me diner nostalgia. Like, there's just nothing like an East Coast diner, you know?
I do. And even now that I live here, I rarely go to a diner, but they were such a staple growing up. Like, I feel like we were always going to diners.
They're kind of going out of style, aren't they? I mean, going out of business.
Well, also, I can't remember if I've talked about this on the pod or not, but I was listening to something and they were saying that like 70% of meals served by restaurants are takeout orders now. Like, it's all like Uber Eats, DoorDash, all that stuff. And people are eating alone in their homes and not going out and like eating at restaurants. And I feel like the appeal of a diner is to go to it and like be with someone and eat with someone, and or to go alone and like be with the staff. I feel like a lot of older people go and like just like that's their like,
yeah, social,
you know, whatever routine. But the food isn't good.
Oh.
You're not going to be, I mean, no. I just mean not good enough to DoorDash. I don't think you're not going to be like DoorDashing an omelet or like French fries, you know?
No. Yeah, it's like a greasy. Also, like the health kick probably did damage to diners, you know, everyone being on a health kick. Well, I love diners, so.
Same. And Dawson breaks to Joey that Mr. Brooks left him a lot of money.
And he has to do something great with it.
He's like, I could pay for my whole college. And Joey's like, you could make a movie. And he's like, yeah, something to think about.
You could buy a home.
Yeah, it would be different if he won the lottery. He wouldn't feel the pressure to do something great with the money. But now he does.
Yeah, and he says that she seems different. She even looks different. And she's like, let's get out of here. And then they go to that swing set that I love. And of course, there's strand lights and lots of fog.
Last time they were here, they were making out.
French kiss.
Mm-hmm.
French fries. French dip.
Dawson says, very different the last time we were here. Joey says, I should have been there for you this weekend. I'm sorry. He's like, no big deal. And she's like, I've made some big decisions. And it's made me realize maybe all there is friendship. What is she talking about? I know what she's talking about literally, but what is she doing here? What is her? She's just spiraling a little bit.
Like, where is it coming from?
Like, what is her goal in what she's saying to Dawson? I feel like Joey is always just trying to keep Dawson on the hook a little bit. And I feel like this is another example of that. What do you think her intention is with this conversation?
I don't think that. Do I? No, I don't think that. But I don't know what her intention with this conversation is. I don't know how this conversation fits into the episode.
No, it's very weird. But like, I've made a lot of big decisions. Peace is throwing me.
Unless like now that she's had sex, because the show has been built on sex for so long from literally the cold open of the pilot. Like, we're changing. We have bigger genitalia now, like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now that she has had sex, she just kind of sees it as not as big. Not that it's not big, but now that it's over, she gets more perspective on it. And she's like, what matters is friendship and relationships, not.
Like, her sole focus has been about this.
Yeah, or not focus, but like, you know, it's just consumed so much of their thoughts and lives and conversations. And she's just like, now that I've had it, I see that it's like really not that important. Like, what's important is friendship. That's the only thing I could think of. And it just came to me now.
No, I like that. That's good.
But I did not understand what she was talking about here. It's a cute moment. I just didn't understand how we got here.
Yeah, I like that explanation. I love this next bit. So they walk away. They're walking down the little boardwalk. She pushes them off, which is hilarious to me. And then they come around a corner and there's a woman walking six puppies on a leash. It's so cute. And then one of them breaks out of its collar. You could tell it was like a fluke thing. One of them breaks out of its collar And Joey picks it up and is like, oh my God. Like, you could tell that Katie Holmes is like, what? This wasn't supposed to happen. And then Dawson runs after the person and taps him on the shoulder to give the puppy back. It's really cute. I don't know if you noticed it. It was like a little interstitial, but it was really...
That's so cute.
Something about that little moment really made this seem like a cute special night for some reason. Like,
made it real.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Joe, what happened on the ski trip? Did you sleep with Pacey? And she's like...
She says, what do you mean? And he's like, I have this unshakable feeling that something happened. And the thing that I liked is he's like, you don't have to answer me. I know it's very personal.
There's something interesting afoot, though, because in 401, when they came back, everyone was asking him if they had sex, except for Dawson. And she said, thank you for being the one person not to ask us if we had sex. And he said, I would never ask that because I'm the only person that the answer would kill. But he's asking now.
I think because it won't kill him anymore.
Which is what he kind of says. You know, he's like, we don't need to be tied to the promises and the things we said when we were little, the promises mm-hmm. we made when we were kids.
He's like, I want you to be happy. I want you to live your life.
Yeah, like...
Life gets in the way of promises. It's fine.
At first, I was like, oh, he asked her that. But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, oh, well, they've all asked each other. You know, like, Joey asked Dawson season one, like, did you sleep with her yet? You know, like, they all kind of ask each other that kind of stuff. So it lost its... Originally, maybe it was just because it was so abrupt. I was, like, clutching my pearls a little bit. But, you know, Jen asked in 401.
It's true.
But Joey lies.
Well, she goes on to say, if you would have asked me a couple of years ago who I was going to lose my virginity to, I would have said unequivocally Dawson Leary and never would have said Pacey. And she kind of goes on this like rambling thing. And he's like, what are you saying? And looks at her with these puppy dog eyes. And she's like, no, I didn't. Liar. Liar. Liar.
I would probably lie. I would need some more time to like... think.
I don't think I would lie, but I would just I know that not saying anything is basically admitting that you did it, but I feel like I wouldn't say anything. I would be like, that's personal. I have to go. Goodbye.
Joey needs to wrap her head around it before she goes yapping.
I don't know. I wouldn't have lied. And it's not the lie that bothers me. And I understand her protecting her peace, but it gives him such hope. Like his takeaway is so much greater than, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I see both sides.
Yeah. Well, that's the episode. Fade to black and white.
When you're in a relationship with someone too, you have to protect their sex. Like maybe, you know, you can't go blabbing.
Totally. But like, just don't say anything.
It's different if it's like a one night stand.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's episode 415, four stories, cute little vignettes.
That's it.
Did you like the order of the vignettes? Because I remember thinking when Winter's Tale ended, even though... Looking back on it, when I watch it now, it's pretty clear that they had sex. But I remember thinking when that episode ended, like, they couldn't have had sex. Like, you know, like, sure. We're going to start next week, and they're going to be like, we decided not to do it. And I thought it was interesting they started with Pacey and Joey and got rid of that suspense immediately versus, like, saving it. But I don't know if Jen's vignette was strong enough to start. I don't know if on a teen show you would start with, like, the older man grief vignette. So they really didn't have much of a choice. But
now that you say it, it would have been interesting to do the cold open as it was, to leave us with Joey and Pacey in bed and not really know what happened. Main title. And then go to Gretchen and Dawson at Mr. Brooks' house. So it's like a, you know, turning of the page kind of thing. And you're still hanging with that suspense. That could have been interesting. But then I guess it would have to be Gretchen and Dawson, Pacey and Joey, Jen, Dawson. Because you would need a separation between Pacey and Joey and then Dawson and Joey.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was just thinking that. I was like, oh, they started with the vignette that most people were interested in. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was listening to the Severance podcast. I like basically have stopped listening to the Severance podcast because Severance isn't airing anymore, but apparently they've kept doing it and it just autoplayed the other day. It's Adam Scott and Ben Stiller, but they did an episode recently with Damon Lindelof. And I guess Severance often gets compared to Lost in like the mysterious, you know, whatever. So they had Damon Lindelof on and he was talking about the show, blah, blah, blah. But he said that they were talking about how they each got their start. Adam Scott said that they actually know each other because Adam Scott was in an episode of Wasteland playing Sasha Alexander's love interest. Ooh, Sasha Alexander is Gretchen. And Damon Lindelof wrote that episode. And then Damon Lindelof went into how he became a writer. And he moved to LA and he knew that there were writers, PAs and writers assistants. And he was like, I want that job. So a friend of his hooked him up and he got a job as the writer's assistant on Wasteland. And he said that it was a first season show. It was a mess. Writers were coming and going. And he basically decided to spec an episode, which is when you just write an episode of the show. I know we've talked about it in the past, basically just to like show people that he could write. And he showed it to one of the writers and the writers were like, Kevin Williamson, you got to give this guy a shot. I think he can write. So Kevin Williamson went to Damon Lindelof and was like, do you have an agent? He said no. And he said, you need to get an agent. And he got an agent and he started writing on Wasteland. And he said that most of those episodes never aired because the show got canceled so quickly, but they did end up airing in other territories, I guess, in other like internationally.
Wow.
But that's how Damon Lindelof became a writer. And then he went on to co-create Lost, co-create The Leftovers. Like, Damon Lindelof is a huge showrunner.
And he got a start because of Kevin.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting.
It's the best.
The best. And tell your elbow story.
Oh, my elbow story is I'm finally getting surgery on Thursday because they did like 2 MRIs and 2 CAT scans and all of these things and no one believed me. And then they were like, we found a mass. And I was like, I told you. And then they were like, let's watch it for 6 weeks. And I was like, are you kidding me? And then I went in for another MRI and they were like, yeah, this isn't normal at this point. It should have gone away. And it's coming out Thursday.
Praise be. Get it out of there.
I'm very excited. The doctors all seem nervous. And I'm just like, why? I finally said, I was like, why is this such a big deal? Like, why has this been the last resort? It's just a simple procedure, right? And they're like, well, every surgery is like, you know, and the elbow is a very sensitive area. Like, you can get infections. Like, they're common there. And I was just like, I don't know. And it has to come out. Like, it's just not normal at this point. Like, there's just bump.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sure it's because of how much the skin moves there and how it's like tight.
Yeah.
But whatever. We got to do it. Get it out of there.
So what will we be drinking for next week's episode, Mind Games?
For episode 416, Mind Games, we will be drinking The Superlative. It is gin, sweet vermouth, blanc vermouth, and Luxardo maraschino liqueur. Sounds interesting. I might try it before we even meet. Do we want to do a Creek Speak?
Yeah, we have a Creek Speak via Apple Podcast review. So this one is from Zoe803. Great podcast. I love you guys. 5 stars. I love this podcast. I have just one note, though. In the episode Northern Lights, you mentioned that Rachel and Brendan named their daughter Aurora Borealis. While that name would be beautiful, it unfortunately is 1,000 times worse because her daughter's name is actually Adora Borealis. Oh, just thought you might want to know that. Also, I love that you love Big Brother and Dawson's Creek. Keep calm and creek on. So what she's referencing is in that episode, we talk about how 2 players from Big Brother fell in love, Rachel and Brendan. I think they're from Big Brother 12 and they had a daughter and I thought they named her Aurora, but apparently it is Adora. Zoe is right. But this is very relevant because Rachel is back on this season, which is Big Brother 25, I think.
Wow.
So maybe
she'll bring Adora.
I was going to say, we'll probably see Adora on like the Thursday live shows when Julie Chen interviews families and stuff.
Amazing. Thank you for that correction.
And I'm so sorry if I'm missing Creek Speaks. It's just like I tried to pull them from like post comments and DMs and the Spotify comments, and it's just a lot to like siphon through and keep track of. And I just don't have that type of brain, you know?
It's okay.
I could never be a bookkeeper. I could never be a... I'm always like, where's the master document? What time are we meeting?
Oh my
gosh.
What
episode is this? I just don't have the brain for it.
I'm the keeper of the spreadsheets. Just send them to me and I'll populate them into a spreadsheet for us.
Well, my new thing now is I asked ChatGPT to make me spreadsheets.
ChatGPT can make spreadsheets?
Yeah, I'm like, I need an Excel spreadsheet. I need one column to be the date for the next 60 days. I need column 2 to say time because I'm running a mile a day now and it just spits it out.
Right.
Spits you out a file. You click on it and save it.
That's insane. We live in the future.
ChatGPT does everything for me. My little assistant. All right. Well, next week is episode 416, Mind Games. What's going to happen? Are people going to have sex again? Will the rapper get thrown away?
The rapper will forever be sitting on the floor of that lodge.
Will Gail have her baby? Will Grams use the prop gun? What will Dawson do with Mr. Brooks's money?
So many questions, and I can't wait to find out.
Will Toby go away forever?
Oh, we can only hope.
Someone did write us, and they're like, I think it was like, God, I hate Henry, but you guys really hate Toby. Zero lies detected.
It's the truth.
Okay, that's it.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.